when I looked at my calendar, I noticed a lot of things have cluttered my calendar today, and now I can't sort them all out in order to focus on pondering. Although, in some ways, everything that the Lord puts before us is part of what we ponder. And at the heart of it all is the Word and the person of Jesus Christ. So I'm sure he'll help us sort some of this out. Let me just mention a few things. First of all, it's very good to know that we've shifted from ECQ to MECQ. Doesn't look like it's made any difference here, but it does. We can exercise outdoors. I think we can have our relief goods distribution on Monday, the Ayuda planned for Monday. The printing shop is open again, or at least partly open. So there's some positive things about that, which is good. And it's a step in the right direction. Today is also a national holiday. I didn't realize it, but it's on the calendar, Ninoy Aquino Day today. So now I know, because everything is political these days, you can't say anything about anybody without being put into some political camp. But Ninoy Aquino, I think this must be the anniversary of his assassination. I don't know why this day, it's not his birthday, is it? Okay. Probably nobody, no one's paying any attention to it, but it's on the calendar, national holiday. What's a national holiday when everybody's in quarantine anyway? You can't go to work, you can't leave home, so what's a holiday? But anyway, I think it's significant to recognize here's a man who was killed, a man who the famous quotation I always go back to is, he said, the Filipino is worth dying for. Used to be on the money, that quote. I don't know if it's still... What is it? The 500 peso bill. But I don't think it's on there anymore. But anyway, the Filipino is worth dying for. This man, knowing that his life was at risk, decided to take that risk, and he paid the price. So that's worth honoring. And his wife became a president, and his son became a president, and his son just died recently. So that's part of what is our experience here. So. Then when I tried to look up Ninoy Aquino, I got all these headlines about Pacquiao. Apparently he has a big fight this weekend. I don't know, maybe today, or I don't know. Anyway, so, and since he's also a senator, you know, you have a superstar athlete who's also a politician. So very hard to sort it out, because as soon as somebody says they like Pacquiao, then it means that they belong to that political camp. And if they oppose his politics, that means they don't want him to win the fight and all these things. So, Sister Barbara, you know, she hated boxing. She thought it was immoral. So does that mean that she would oppose his political position? No. You have to sort these things out. Okay, so Pacquiao. We have a good friend in the States who's being ordained today as a permanent deacon. He's a longtime friend of Anuem, a disciple of Father Francis. So we pray for him, Brian. Another good friend of ours here in the Philippines, he died a few days ago. His funeral is today, Raymond. A real servant of the church, a dedicated parishioner. He died unexpectedly. He was supposed to be discharged from the hospital. His mother told me that he was looking forward to going home, and then he died. And then, so the Lord took him home to heaven. So we pray for him today as well. Also on the calendar, today was scheduled as our commitment day. We were supposed to have a big mass here and receive the commitments of new associates and the renewal of our associates. We knew when the lockdown happened, we had to cancel or at least postpone that. One of those who wants to make a commitment is in the province, can't get back to Manila. So that we will do eventually, but it's postponed. And at one point, I had proposed that we would make this day, since we were gathering for Commitment Day, we would celebrate Sister Barbara's 40th day today, even though it's really tomorrow, and that we would bury her today. That was my original suggestion, but that turned out to be a bad idea. And as it is, it's a good thing we didn't plan that, because no one's here, and no one could be here. So today is the feast of St. Pius X. Pope St. Pius X, a great figure in modern church history, And I think a great example for us of how to put some of these different things together, he has a reputation for being both a innovator and a traditionalist. Kind of reminds me of Father Francis. Father Francis, in his active service in Corning, he was looked down on as a radical because he had all these new ideas about community life and about charismatic life in the church and new forms of prayer and devotion. But he also had a reputation as a traditionalist because he stood against some of the errors that were being introduced into the parishes, especially the promotion of women preachers and people interfering with the liturgical life. So it's how can a person be both a traditionalist and a liberal? Well, just try to follow Jesus Christ and you'll be accused of both, because Jesus himself was accused of this. Of course, the Pharisees thought he was too liberal because he broke all the laws. But on the other hand, he said, I have not come to do away with the law. I've come not even one part of a letter of the law. I've come to fulfill it. So this will always be the challenge, to follow Jesus Christ in the midst of controversies and disputes, divisions, even in the church. Pope St. Pius X is at the center of a pretty big division in the church, the liturgy wars. I know most Catholics don't pay any attention to this, but those who are love the traditional Latin Mass take St. Pius X as a hero of theirs, even though he himself was a kind of liturgical. he himself changed the liturgy, but they take him as a hero of the unchanging liturgy, the traditional Mass handed on for centuries. And now that Pope Francis has issued a document, a pretty heavy-handed document, to limit the use of the traditional Latin Mass, the traditionalists are declaring war on him, and they say that he declared war on them and all this. And, you know, the schismatic group that upholds the traditional Mass is the Society of St. Pius X. That's the name of it. So even though they're not in union with the Pope, they claim the patronage of today's saint. Now, St. Pius X, because he lived in a time of great turmoil, it was the early 20th century, a lot of political controversies, a lot of controversies in the church, question about scripture, questions about liturgy. He fostered the liturgical movement. He fostered increased participation in the liturgy. He fostered more frequent communion. These were radical positions to some people. He encouraged the reception of Holy Communion at a younger age. That's one of his legacies, which was controversial. I mean, everything is controversial. When you make a change, somebody's going to oppose it. If you don't make a change, somebody's going to say you're too rigid. But Pope St. Pius X was able to navigate this because he was a very humble man. Came from a poor family, and he remained poor in spirit, Pius X. I think he's a great example of Anuim life. He was from a big family. They say that his brothers and sisters, who were siblings of the Pope, they didn't gain anything from his being Pope. They remained poor, hardworking people. Pope Pius X deliberately did that. He said, I'm not gonna, he could easily have made them rich by asking benefactors to give them houses and stuff. He said, no, that's not what's essential for life of the church. In fact, very often, those who are poor are free of the distractions that the rich get into. Well, okay, in today's gospel, Jesus navigates the difficult path of honoring the Pharisees, honoring them, honoring their authority, without giving in to following their bad example. He gives this principle to observe whatever they tell you, honor their authority, but do not follow their example because they don't practice what they preach. In the war between the traditionalists and the liberals, you know that both extremes are a problem. The danger of being too attached to what is past is that you turn the faith into a beautiful marble statue. Yeah, it's beautiful, it's ancient, but it's not a living thing. The danger on the side of the liberals or the radical left, you don't have a statue, you don't have anything. You have a big jellyfish. It can turn into any shape or form depending on what you want and what you think is acceptable to the culture. And that's no good either. So we don't need extreme rigidity. We don't need extreme laxity. We need the living life of Jesus Christ in the church. And he shows us the path. He himself is the way. He says the problem with the Pharisees is they use religion and the appearance of holiness as a way to gain favor for themselves. He says, don't do that. Don't use religion for yourself. Worship God as God, and you are his servants. This is where Pope Pius X is a great example. He was a pope. I mean, he was the highest man in the church. And in those days, the pope, well, in any time, he's the highest authority. He took none of that as a way of boosting up his ego. He put himself entirely at the service of the church, and that's why he's a saint. He fulfilled what Jesus says here. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. He humbled himself. He's a poor man, and now he's a saint. So that's the path to follow. We see this humility reflected in today's first reading as well. The path of humbling oneself, the beautiful witness of Ruth the Moabite. We were introduced to her yesterday. Ruth the Moabite, she followed her mother-in-law. Now, usually the relationship between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law is a pretty difficult one. Maybe it was made easier because the man between them, meaning the son of Naomi, who was the husband of Ruth, he died. So they couldn't fight over him anymore. What united them was the Lord. Naomi was a Jew and she was a faithful Jew. Ruth said, your God is my God. She left her Moabite gods and followed the God of Naomi, meaning she became a faithful faithful devotee of the true God, the God of Israel. So she goes back to Judah, back to Bethlehem, and starts trying to survive. So, I mean, we're talking about the two widows, and one of them's a foreigner. So these are the absolute poorest people in the society. They have nothing and nobody. And what does Ruth do? Well, she scrounges around to get a little food. In her willingness to do any legitimate work to support her and her mother-in-law, she comes into the view of this man, Boaz. And Boaz can see this woman is a treasure. So this reading skips over all the funny details, but eventually they marry and Ruth bears a son. So Naomi has a grandson. She has an heir. She becomes a Lola. She's very happy. Ruth is happy because she has a son. And that son becomes the father of Jesse, the grandfather of David. So Ruth is the great-grandmother of David, and Naomi is the great-great-grandmother of David, meaning these are all ancestors of Jesus. Their humility, their faithfulness, their willingness to be servants of God bears fruit in a way they themselves could never imagine and they never saw. They were dead long before David even came along. So they didn't see the fruit of their faithfulness, but God saw their beauty and he rewarded them. See how the Lord blesses those who fear him. That's the psalm response. See how the Lord blesses those who fear him. They themselves didn't. I mean, they saw the child. They saw Obed. So they saw the blessing. But they didn't see the full extent of God's blessing. Just like Pius X, he didn't in his lifetime see the full fruit of his holy life. And of course, from heaven, he can see it. We who are still in this life, we cannot see all the fruit of faithful, humble service. We can't see it, except in faith. We're in a messy world. We're in a world full of political controversies and divisions and arguments over liturgy and arguments over what's the right way to do things. Okay. It doesn't matter in a sense. As long as we are taking this lesson of Jesus, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So let us humble ourselves before the Lord, dedicate ourselves to being not great, but being servants. Servants of the Lord, and servants of the poor, and servants of the people of God. And then we'll see how the Lord blesses those who fear him.